We're thinking about our senses today on Sound Effect from KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. This is a story about a family. And there's no getting around this. Someone gets hurt in this story. But that incident becomes a pivotal moment for the family's history. And it's what led them to discover their life's work. That work, which happens in a medical office park in Kirkland, is making eyes.
I'm a licensed ocularist. And ocularist is an artificial eye maker.
Todd Cranmore makes eyes for people who have lost or damaged their eyes because of accidents or cancer or birth defects.
So come on down this way.
And if you assume that prosthetic eyes are made with 3D scanners and lasers and stuff like I did, think again.
All of our process is hand done. It's done with the patient right in front of us, just a few inches away. My eyeballs are glued to their eyeballs and trying to pick out the colors and the patterns.
That turns out to be very difficult. It's part art, part science. Todd studies the patient's remaining eye, if there is one, and tries to perfectly match the delicate patterns with his paintbrush.
We have cobalt blue.
The colors get stacked in layer after layer, 100 or more of them in just one iris.
Building all the way from the back to the front. So we start adding texture and color and actually depth.
This is a pretty specialized profession. There's just 4 licensed ocularist practices in Washington. There's no school. They all learn through apprenticeship. And they're all trying to capture this most mysterious part of human anatomy.
There's nothing else on our bodies that are that captivating. Kind of like a flower. It's a beacon. It's the life. It's the windows of the soul. What a challenge to try to duplicate an iris and try to make something that is plastic and pigment look alive.
That plastic, specifically acrylic, is what prosthetic eyes are made of. Todd says most people ask him if they're made of glass. The answer is not since World War II.
Another question is how I got into the field. And that's a pretty common question.
And that's a long answer for you.
That can be a long answer.
That answer starts with the other two main characters in this story.
Yes, my name's Christy Erickson. I'm an ocularist. Todd Cranmore is my son. Timothy Cranmore, patient, is my son.
My name is Tim Cranmore, and I'm the brother of Todd Cranmore and the son of Christy Erickson.
How Christy and Todd went into business together making eyes goes back to a summer day in 1976. The family was living in a rural area just outside of Monroe, Washington. Todd was just a year and a half old. His big brother Tim was 3. Baby Colleen was just 2 weeks.
It was near 4th of July because we were having a party.
We had a family gathering at our house.
It's about mid-afternoon, and then my husband and his brother.
And my dad and my uncle went to go work out on the tractor.
We had a backhoe.
And of course, being a young boy, I wanted to go out with them.
Tim was just playing outside, just watching, sitting on the ground watching.
I remember him saying, no, stay here, and I put up a pretty big fuss that I wanted to go out, so they finally agreed to let me go out and watch.
And it had a bolt on it that they were trying to take off with these great big old bolt cutters.
Apparently they were using some bolt cutters to cut a bolt off the tractor.
And so when they ended up cutting this bolt, and the bolt flew right in his eye.
It ricocheted off and skimmed the edge of my eye.
It must have been like a 1 in a bazillion shot, you know.
Right, you know, what are the chances of that tiny piece of metal hitting you right in the eye?
I do remember I was inside with the baby.
I remember him kind of picking me up and looking at me, like all concerned. And I remember looking at him, and I saw like a little blood above his eyebrow. So, you know, I was worried about him because I actually saw blood, and I couldn't figure out why they were looking at me. I don't remember feeling any pain.
They, of course, did emergency surgery that night. I think it was a Sunday night. The ophthalmologist, the surgeon, he came out and told us that, you know, it was all collapsed and, you know, it looked like something exploded inside of Tim's eye.
At 3 years old, Tim lost vision in his right eye. Christy was afraid he'd forever be bumping into things, he'd never ride a bike, but Tim figured most of that stuff out. He was a resilient kid. Christy's marriage didn't bounce back so well.
My husband then started to act out. He was really, you know, getting pretty mean with the kids. That was kind of the starting.
Did you hold him responsible for what happened to Tim?
No, I didn't, but he did. And he's unwilling to talk to anybody about it.
By the time Tim was ready to start kindergarten, his eye had shrunk back into its socket. His parents started to worry about how other kids at school would treat him, so someone suggested they look into getting Tim an artificial eye.
I met Gerald Erickson, was the ocularist. I was really impressed with the office. I met patients, and even there was a child. You know, it was just a close, secure feeling to have, to be understood.
Jerry made Tim's first prosthetic, what's called a scleral shell that fits over the withered eye, a cool blue to match the left. And Christy took an immediate interest in the craft of this, and in the craftsman.
I ended up divorcing my first husband and married Jerry Erickson.
Christy became Jerry's office assistant, and then his apprentice, and eventually his colleague. And meanwhile, Tim was growing up, learning to live with a fake eye. That was not always easy.
It would get around, especially in grade school, that this is the guy with the glass eye, and everybody would want to see it, or they want me to take it out. They would give me money to take out the eye. So they would, you know, conjure up a quarter or 50 cents or whatever it was, and I didn't really care what the amount was. It was more of a peer pressure thing. You know, one person would ask, then all of a sudden you'd have this whole group of kids around you waiting for you to take out your eye. So.
Did you hate that? What was that like?
Yeah, I definitely hated it. You know, I didn't want the attention.
Tim still doesn't really like attracting attention. But now he's a handsome professional guy with blonde hair and close-cropped reddish beard. He's been through 7 or 8 eyes since that first one. You have to replace them every few years. And today, Tim is back in the office to sit for a new eye.
Okay, I didn't think there would be room for improvement, but there is room for improvement. What do you have?
Well, it's been a while. I didn't realize how long it's been. We were like, oh, wow, it's 2007, so.
Is that like the cobbler's children don't get?
All those new shoes.
Shoes. Yeah.
Over the years, Tim has had eyes made by his stepdad, his mother, his stepsister, and the last few times by his brother Todd. It's Todd's turn again.
All right, well, let's start painting.
Ready? Have fun, you guys.
In the painting room, the family resemblance is obvious. If you just walked in here, you might think you were looking at two brothers recreating some epic staring contest from their childhood.
It's hard not to laugh or anything. Like, you're looking each other in the eye, and it's supposed to be serious. And, you know, you think of kids like, stop looking at me or don't stare at me.
The process starts with a curved disc of acrylic. This will become the iris.
So I'm getting set up to put your pupil in. What I want to do is set your pupil first because it's going to be offset. And then all the radial patterns I want to paint out.
Then Todd sets about recreating his brother's steely blue, which turns out to contain hardly any blue at all. It's mostly grays and whites and yellows, all delicately stacked on top of each other.
We're trying to make a 3D effect because the muscle, the iris, has crypts and it's got peaks and it has all these different folds in it. And so you really don't want to try to create like a wheel. You want it to look like tissue.
The eye also has to be a perfect fit. So Todd takes an impression of Tim's eye socket.
And then if you can, bring your chin up a little higher. Perfect.
Todd injects a gel into the empty socket and lets it harden. It works just like a dental impression.
And you're going to feel the cool come in now. Feel it come in?
Mm-hmm. When he pulls it out, he has a perfect mold of where the new prosthesis will fit.
Now it's just about set up now. You might feel a little bit of a pull on your eyelashes here as this comes out. Great.
Later, Todd will carefully fray red silk thread to make the blood vessels. The effect all this has is to make the prosthesis almost indistinguishable from the natural eye. It's really uncanny. Of course, there are some tells. In the dark, Tim's live pupil dilates while his painted one doesn't. The prosthetic eye doesn't move that much, and Tim is hyper aware of when people notice.
You know, especially when I was younger, talking to girls, I was shy in general, and then if I think they're trying to check out my eye a little bit, I'll be even more shy and kind of back away and kind of distracts me, and that's been a big hurdle to get over.
Sounds like you've been burned once or twice.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've had some, you know, dates in the past where the subject of the eye comes up. You know, I have 5 great dates in a row. Things seem to be going really well, and as soon as they go, oh, what's wrong with your eye? And then I tell them what happened, and that's the last you hear from them.
We tend to think of someone's eyes as such a part of their personhood. When someone's missing one, people can be weird about it. And that's why the process of Todd painstakingly recreating his brother's eye is such an intimate act.
But I feel blessed to have this option. Instead of just wearing a patch over your eye or just being a pirate the rest of your life or something, but kind of nice to be able to just be an everyday person.
Look at that detail. Now, is that a detail man or a woohoo?
How's it look to you, Tim?
That looks great.
Does it look familiar?
Yeah, yes.
Christy clearly relishes seeing her sons together.
Great.
Maybe any mom would, but here, in this office, it feels like putting something back together.
I always just kind of want to revert back to when they shared bedrooms and things, or when they climbed on the roof and found out later. I'm just totally proud.
And to have something taken from you as a young mom and taken from Tim, does this feel like you're restoring it in some way? I mean, it must feel like it's coming full circle.
Yeah, that's a really great way to state it. That satisfied feeling that you get when it's like, who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk on that July day in 1976 that the family would end up here, together, making Tim whole again?
What's up, Todd?
Tim's wearing his eyeball. You can go take a look at him.
Timbo! Whoa! That's beautiful. How's your eye feel?
Definitely feels really good.
For at least the next 5 years or so, this eye will go to sleep with Tim and wake with him. It'll go on dates and droop after long days of work, and yes, probably even cry with him. Tim still has his tear ducts. This eye will be in all the family photos. And that makes sense, because both of his eyes are gifts from his family.
I think it's a neat thing to be able to hand over the mirror and be able to let go and say, here's this thing that we made, and it's my hands, it's my mom's hands, but I want my brother to have ownership and to feel like it is his eye. It is not our eye any longer. It's his eye.